Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Pastor Jim Ellsbury, Associate Pastor of Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm here today for show number, I believe this is 464 of Living the Good Life, a radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries. And I am joined today by Nan Watson, who's here with me in the studio, and Nathan Burton will be calling in. Nathan on? Oh, wow. Hey, Nathan.
I am.
Hey there.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Good. So we are a ministry of Beacon of Hope, and we meet every Wednesday for the gathering, Wednesday evenings at, we start with prayer about 6 o'clock. We have our praise and worship and get into the Word about 6:30. We currently meet at the Ramada Inn at 3580 Olmerton Road in Clearwater. And please feel free if you are in the area. And I know we took a ride today, took our dog for a ride, noticed all the no vacancy signs in this area. So if you are visiting, or you live in this area, please feel free to join us. That's Wednesday nights. It's just an interactive Bible study. We get together for praise and worship, and we keep together with, we just study the Word. We're really into the Word. And bring a notebook, bring your dinner, because a lot of people come directly from work, like Nan, who does that.
I do that.
And we appreciate that. So I'd like to start with prayer, if we could, just to kind of get the show rolling. But first, I just want to say Happy Valentine's Day to everyone. That's kind of where we're going to focus, is on God's love, what His love does, what His love means. So we'll be kind of tackling those issues. So, Father, we just come before You in the name of Jesus. Father, we surrender this show to You. We ask You, Lord God, we just place it in Your hands. Father, we ask that whatever needs are in the hearts of the listeners, that You would just meet those needs, Lord, that You would just do what is necessary, Father, to bring all of us to the point of surrender, full surrender to You. That we would forever walk in Your way, showing forth Your love, showing forth Your power to this world. Lord, we give You glory and honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, so I would like to start. We're going to start kind of where we left off on Wednesday night, which is Matthew chapter 9. And I just want to go over a couple of verses there. We went over a lot of this last week also, but Matthew is what we're studying at the gathering, and the kind of the theme has been faithed up to overflowing. And last week we talked about faithed up to overflowing for evangelism. This week I'm going to kind of shift that a little bit to faithed up to overflowing with love. So, because that's so important. One of the scriptures we talked about last week was Galatians 5:6, that faith works through love. So that's kind of where I want to, kind of the general theme I want to stick with today, is that faith works through love. But we talked last week about Matthew 9:35, kind of how Jesus evangelized by faith. He went and preached the kingdom of God. He backed it up with signs and wonders, healings, deliverances. And there's no reason why that can't or shouldn't happen or be happening today.
Well, I was thinking today along those lines, as we're preparing to come in here, and I was thinking how awesome it would be to have those things happening. And they do happen, but to have them happening more. You know, and what a testimony that is. You know, I mean, we're to follow in the steps of Jesus. We're to do like Jesus did. He set the example for us. And something I was reading this morning, it talked about that the level of faith that he had. Actually, I was talking about fasting. I was reading a book about fasting, you know. But it was talking about how Jesus' level was so high, obviously, of his faith, you know, and after he'd spent the 40 days and 40 nights, spent the 40 days, you know, in fasting.
There were 40 nights in there, too.
He had the power, he had the strength to do those things. His disciples did, too. But they weren't necessarily quite to the point he was, so some things they weren't able to do. But they went forward evangelizing for him. You know, mm-hmm. It's like wherever we are, whatever step we're at, we can do that. You know, right. Am I going to be a pastor to do that? No, I've not been called to be a pastor. You have. Pastor Marcia has. So you all move forward in that way. But me as a little layperson can still go forth and minister and evangelize just as anyone who's listening today who's a Christian can do the same thing.
Right. And, of course, I would remind you and Nathan of what Paul said to Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. And I know...
Yep.
You know, I know, Nan, you do that at school. Nathan, you do that by playing the piano. Okay? I think you evangelize by music, actually.
Hi, Nathan. I didn't get to say hi to you, baby. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Jesus in Mark 9:35 talks about how he evangelized, but then 9:30... Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, which is, I have to say, this is for Nan, one of my favorite verses. Okay, Nan?
Yep, thank you.
Okay. But in 9:36, Jesus said, it says, Matthew wrote, when he saw the multitudes, his heart was moved with compassion for them, for they were weary and scattered. Okay, and I believe the New International Version translates that as harassed and helpless. Mm-hmm. I like that. I like that. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Okay, so that what a picture that paints. Here Jesus is moved with compassion, and I may get into the explanation of that word a little bit later, but he saw the crowds as sheep without a shepherd. Just kind of wandering around, doing nothing. They had no focus. They had no one to guide them. And shepherds also take care of the sheep. So they had no one to take care of them, to tend to them. And that must have been when it says moved with compassion, that I don't know, Nathan, about you, but it strikes me as kind of being heartbroken over this crowd.
Yeah. Yes, I believe that's how he felt. But he was moved with compassion. We talked about what compassion was in our Wednesday night meeting, and how it's something that he felt deeply.
Mm-hmm.
that they were like sheep without no shepherd.
Right.
You know, they were so confused and aimless, and he was concerned. He said, "What a huge harvest."
Mm-hmm.
And how few workers there were. Harvesting. Yes.
And that's... Go ahead.
But that's okay.
Oh, well, I was going to say, and that's, you know, compassion is seeing a need and having an overwhelming desire to do something about it. You know, that's kind of what we talked about Wednesday night. And here Jesus saw them scattered without a leader, and he told the disciples, okay, now pray. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send harvesters into this field. And he saw a need, and he had to do something about it. It's almost like compassion leaves you no choice. If you're moved with compassion, you really don't have a choice. And if you're moved with love, kind of equating the same thing, because everything Jesus did, he did in love. So he was moved by that and acted in love. Even when he had to rebuke people, I believe he did that in love also. I mean, because it was always just, and it was never kind of a knee-jerk reaction to something. You know, it was a very righteous. He was always righteous and always just, even when he had to rebuke someone. And he could do that in love because he never left them condemned. He always left them with a way out. You know, he always left them with an option. Okay, it's your choice. What are you going to do?
Right.
You know. So I want to go to our first song. It's kind of just a praise and worship song. Kind of a, it's a good song by Third Day, Agnus Dei. What a great song. I like Third Day anyway. But I think that's just such a great, great song, great worship song, great way to start off the show. And another great way to start off the show is to have Nan give us a poem, which was inspired, I assume, by the last song?
By the last song. During the last song.
Okay.
It's about praise, no doubt. Praise my name for all that is within you. Walk around pumped up with faith in me. You will spread the message to so many. For me, you will do wonderful ministry. I am worthy of all the praise that you give to me. Take time in your day to praise me as such. You will see things occur in your life. You will see that it was by my mighty touch. So praise me, sing hallelujah unto me. I am worthy of all the praise that you offer me. I delight in the praise that you give to me. Praise me, praise me, praise me, for I am worthy.
Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Pretty good, huh, Nathan?
That was very good.
That was very good, yeah. So, and that's so true. I think there's so much that's wrapped up in this concept of love and compassion, especially love toward God. If you love him, you're going to want to express that love. And, you know, we've talked about one of the ways, of course, is through evangelism, being able to move in the gifts of the Spirit, that sort of thing. One of the ways is praise and worship. You know, that's one of the things I know I treasure so much at Beacon is just our times when we enter into praise and worship and just know that the Father's presence is there with us. I mean, you know, it's always here with us, obviously, because we have Jesus living inside of us. But there are those times when we, I guess, maybe sense his presence so much more. It's not like more of God has moved in. It's just we're more conscious of his presence sometimes. And that's why I'm a firm believer in praise and worship and in prayer, being sensitive, because sometimes you get to be rowdy before the Lord to sense his presence. Sometimes you just got to be really quiet before the Lord to sense his presence. So, and that's so true, I think, about love, because love sometimes, God's love sometimes explodes on the scene, like it did with Jesus, like it did on the day of Pentecost, you know, with that mighty rushing wind and the tongues of fire coming down and all that. That, in a sense, was love exploding on the scene, because what happened was Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, had the compassion of God, got out there, preached the first sermon, 3,000 people got saved. And then we talked, you know, and then we talked about, this could be just as short a time as a few days later, in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John went up to the temple to pray and saw the blind, or the lame man. Peter prayed, you know, said in the name of Jesus Christ, walk. And the lame man who'd been lame for 40 years got up, walking, leaping, praising God. I promise I won't break into song here. But and then, you know, they attracted a crowd, and two things happened. 2,000 more people got saved just from that one man being healed. And it also created an issue with the authorities. So, and it's the same thing with Jesus. It seemed like every time the compassion, the love of God broke through with a miracle, there was usually somebody there to say, wait a minute, you healed on the Sabbath. Who are you to forgive sins? Don't you know what kind of woman this is? You know, that kind of stuff. There's always somebody there to criticize. And thankfully, the love of God didn't allow Jesus to get caught up in that. He never got caught up in that, which is so marvelous. Because I know my nature. You know, somebody said, well, who are you? You know, if you were a prophet, you'd know what kind of woman this was. And I probably get all defensive and, you know, try and give some sort of hoity-toity prophet credentials or something. And yet,
right.
You know, Jesus just went beyond that and just cut right to it and said, you know, in that verse in Luke, look, I came in here, you didn't even offer me to wash my hands. She's washed my feet with her tears, dried them with her hair. She's anointed me with oil. No, you didn't do any of this. You know, such incredibly good answers to all those criticisms. Praise God, far better than I think I could have come up with.
Well, you know, would we move forward, and we're ministering to people, and we're in the areas wherever God happens to have us, sometimes there may would be someone who acts like that towards you. But just as Jesus always had the answers when he needed them, so will the Holy Spirit give us the answers to say if we get not to say you will, but if you get in that situation, he will give you the answers. He will tell you what you need to say, and it'll come off just fine.
And if we let him do that. No, because Jesus said, yeah, because Jesus said, don't worry. Okay, so it's just we have to kind of step aside and let the Holy Spirit give us those words. Because if you're all, you know, all worried, what's going to happen? You know, if I'm
going to step out.
Right, we're not going to
step out.
Right, we're not going to be able to step out if we're all worrying and fearful. What am I going to say? And it's just saying, it in a sense, you know, Jesus promised it. It's just saying, okay, I accept that promise, Lord. I'm stepping aside. You give me the words. And I've had that happen where God has given me, you know, little, I guess you'd almost say like words of wisdom, you know, one of the gifts of the Spirit, just something to say at that moment that needed to be said. Doesn't happen very often, but praise God when it does. All right.
Amen.
So today is Valentine's Day. So we're obviously all about, you know, faithed up to overflowing with the love of God. Okay. And why don't we just go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. That is a great jumping off point for this discussion. But, you know, Paul was, especially with those Galatian folks, they just wanted to prove how righteous they were before God and kind of earn, they wanted to try and earn their salvation. That was the, you know, oh, if I do this and this and this, I can earn my salvation points. And, you know, that's never how God's worked. Even, oddly enough, even under the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, it wasn't by works. It was still by faith, but that's for another teaching, which I'd love to do sometime. But in Galatians chapter 5, he starts off with, and I think we'll just start at the beginning because this is all so good. And I'm reading out of the New King James Version. I went retro today.
Good for you. I'm proud of you.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Okay, so, you know, Christ came to set us free, and Paul's saying, don't get wrapped up in all this stuff again. Indeed, I, Paul, in verse 2, says to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So what was happening was people in Galatia had listened to some false teaching that they had to be circumcised in order to, the males had to be circumcised in order to become full Christians, true Christians, covenant Christians. And Paul is saying that's hogwash. Okay? That's just hogwash. Because he said, if you become circumcised, what you're doing is entering into then the Abrahamic covenant. The covenant that God made with Abraham. That's where circumcision came from. And he said, if you're going to do that, you have to keep the whole law. And I'm going to bet that a lot of those Gentiles that thought, ooh, I'll just, you know, get circumcised, it'll all be over with, I bet they never thought they'd have to keep the whole law. But Paul says, you're entering into that covenant. You're committing yourself to keep the entire law, the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, all those rules and instructions. You're committing yourself to keep those. And, you know, I just think, I could just see Paul shaking his head going, oh, these people, what are they thinking? But he's even in verse 4, it gets a little more scary. He said, look, if you're attempting to be justified by law, if you're attempting to be enslaved to legalism in order to be supposedly righteous. You've fallen from grace. You're not depending on grace. And that's that. I mean, I've been there. Maybe not as severe as the Galatians, but I know because of my background, because of my upbringing, I had felt I was not good enough. And I, even though I was saved by grace, I thought in order to maintain my salvation, it was by works. You know, I mean, I never would phrase it that way, but you know, if I just never felt like I was meeting God's standards. Okay. I got news for you. I was never going to anyway. That's why it's by grace. Okay. That's the only way we can be justified. It's by grace and grace alone. And then he goes on to say in Galatians 5, verse 6, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working or energized through love." That's what counts, is faith working through love. We see that in the ministry of Jesus, and he commands us to do the same thing. Not only do we see faith working through love all through the ministry of Jesus, but we see that he commands us to do that very same thing. And I want to read just a little bit. One of the devotionals I use is Bill Johnson's Hosting the Presence Every Day. Really, really good devotional. And I want to read what it was today because it just fits so nicely in with what we're talking about. He always starts off with a little kind of main comment at the beginning. It says, "All our actions come from one of two basic emotions, fear or love. Jesus did everything from love." It says, "Jesus did everything from love. So much of what is called warfare," this little section has been on spiritual warfare, comes out of fear. "I've done that more than I care to admit. We could never worship or give honor. We would never worship or give honor to the devil. But remember, like a child needing attention in the classroom, if the enemy can't get it for something good, then at least he'll get it for something bad. He wants to become our object of focus and point of emphasis. Perhaps one of the greatest and yet most misunderstood spiritual warfare strategies is to keep our eyes fixed on the Father's love. This is not a call to ignore the conflict. Instead, it is a summons to see darkness from the right perspective." And I was reading that this morning, and I thought, wow. Because I know, you know, we do that so often. I mean, you know, I can run through the four spiritual laws, or not four spiritual, the armor of God in no time. Okay? I know what the armor of God is, and I know what all the things that I'm supposed to do to fight, and I'm sure you do too, Nathan.
Yes, I do.
But that keeping your focus on the Father, that hit me. That hit me this morning when I read that.
Well, don't you think that most people think that God is not a God of love, but a God of vengeance, and of someone that's mad at them, that's going to make them pay, you know, and not someone that loves them as much as we know that God loves us?
Yeah, I do. I agree fully. And I think that comes from religion.
Yes.
You know, as opposed to biblical Christianity. That comes from religion, and I think I might have told this story. When I was a little kid, the street that we lived on, the neighbors two doors down went to a fundamentalist church. And I remember they talked about the end of the world, you know, how the world was going to be burned up with fire. And that's all I knew, was that God was going to, you know, roast me in hell, basically. And I remember they talked about the moon being red, and one of the times the full moon rose, because because where we lived, you got a really good view of the full moon rising. But it was dusty, so the moon rose red, and not like a blood moon, but it was, you know, that orangey kind of moon that sometimes rises.
Yeah.
And then, yeah. Then you know, then it would be cloudy, and my the city, the little town I grew up in, finally got those like halogen street lamps that reflect into the clouds and turn the sky red, you know. And first time I saw that, I thought, oh, this is it. This is the end. I'm dying. I'm going to go to hell. Jesus, come back. I'm going to go to hell. Because I figured I agree. I had it in my head that he was not a God of love. And yet, like I said a little earlier, even under the old covenant, you know, people like to make that separation. The God of the Old Testament was a God of wrath, and the God of the New Testament is a God of love. There's only one God, and he spans both testaments. Okay, I want to make that. Exactly. Exactly. He tells the Israelites, I loved you. I loved Abraham. I loved you. And he said, I give you these commandments for your good. You know, and there have been several studies, especially about the dietetic laws, that if everybody followed those, there'd be much less, like, stomach issues and things like that. And it's... He's still a God of love in both testaments. And it's so important to understand that, you know, he didn't suddenly change somewhere between when Malachi... you know, finished his prophecy when Matthew started. God suddenly didn't have a change of heart. He says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Okay?
Yeah.
I am the Lord. I do not change. Yeah. Okay? I think what people tend to misunderstand is that God is love, and he's also holy. And in him is the only way those two can perfectly fit together. Because holiness demands retribution for sin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Exactly.
God's love provided that on the cross.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that's what people miss is, yeah, he's holy, he's righteous. Sin will not stand in his presence. And yet, because of that, he provided the way. And we're going to go into that a little bit more here in a couple of minutes about how he did that and then what we're supposed to do with that love. I mean, it's very, very important that we just don't kind of sit on it, you know. God gives us his love just like he did with Jesus. The love of God was shown in Jesus, and Jesus didn't just keep it to himself. He spread it around. He gave the disciples a commission. He said, okay, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you're going to be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. He gave them that commission to go and do that. And, of course, they did, obviously. And he gives us that same commission. We have to be sensitive to the moving of his Spirit, like Pastor was going down to Mexico. If it had been me, I'm not so sure I would have been so sensitive to that moving. You know,
I amen you there. I amen you there, yes.
Yeah, I'm just not so sure going to, you know, that's just not my thing. Now, if he told me to go to Rome or Jerusalem, oh, baby, I'd be on that first plane out of town. I'd be getting my passport right away, and I'd be on that first plane.
But you know what?
Yeah, he's going to send me to Mexico, right?
If he were to send you to Mexico, maybe send Nathan to Mexico, send myself to Mexico, we would obey and go. You know, we're kind of talking about maybe that wouldn't be our favorite thing to do in life, but we'll make sure the listeners know that we would go. If God directed us to go, we would be there.
We would go, and we would
we'd minister. I mean, God would use us just like he's using her.
Right.
There again, she's a pastor. You're a pastor. Nathan and I are not, but as we said early in the show, God can use us where we are.
Exactly, and he'll use us.
Exactly.
As long as we're willing to be used. And I think I've often told this story. Y'all know I did not want to move to Florida. I was content to stay in Chicago. And, you know.
How could you stand the cold?
It wasn't. I could. It was Ray that couldn't. So, of course, if I'd listened and been a little more sensitive, we would have been down here long before. But I know that God works everything out in his time for his will, you know, if we're called according to his love. And, I mean, it worked out. I think I came to Beacon at the right time. You know, I think that was the right time for me to be here, mm-hmm. even if I was the only guy for a while. But so glad Nathan and Sean and a few others are back with us. But, you know, yeah, I finally listened and realized this is what God wants. I had to be ready to move with him. And, you know, I think all of us sometimes can be a little slow in hearing. I was. But eventually we do. You know, we'll do it.
We could be a little Jonah.
You should see the smile on Nan's face.
Nan was the Jonah. Nan, I think that's what he's talking about.
She was our Jonah.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, this actually fits well into our next song, which is We Will Embrace by Darrell Evans.
We recognize that you're moving among the earth, Lord. And we say we're with you. We're going to embrace what you're doing, Lord. Don't leave us behind. With all
Okay, I love that song, and we've sung it several times at church. I really, really like that song, but it's so good. We will embrace your move. We will embrace your love. Two very important things. So, and Nan, a poem?
Yes, it's entitled, Will You Embrace My Move? Embrace the move that is before you. Praise my name as you move forward. You will minister to so many others. Move in faith and use your mighty sword. The Bible. Will you embrace the move by me? The decision is yours. What will it be? I have so much for you to move forward and do. Move forward with your faith into your ministry. Embrace my move. Do it right now. I will do so much through your life, little one. Embrace my move. Do it right now. While embracing, point them to my son.
Oh, amen. Amen. That's a good one.
Praise God. Amen.
And before the song, we were talking about the concept of, God, the Lord God, God of vengeance or God of love? Sounds like a panel discussion, doesn't it? But that's, that's so true. And you know what? He's a God of love. You know, love is God's primary motivation. Okay, it's funny because we think, okay, that makes him a big. If we neglect his other characteristics, it just makes God a big old Santa Claus in the sky, and kind of an ineffectual sort of God. If he was, God is love. God's also holy and righteous. He's gracious, okay? And it takes all of that in the scriptures. God has revealed us all of that because focusing on any one thing throws everything else out of balance, okay? If we ignore the fact if we ignore the fact that God is love, what do we have? A God of anger, a God of vengeance. Most people think,
right.
he's out there to smack me on the head with a big old, hammer. Smack me upside the head with a 2x4 every time I step out of line. But that's not who God is. And yet, if we focus just on the love aspect, then that gives us a wrong idea, too. Okay, if we think God's never going to do anything about the wicked, okay? Eventually, the wicked will be dealt with. That's all the way through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, no way to avoid it. Which is why we're called to share the love of God.
Exactly.
Okay, exactly, because hell was never created, or the lake of fire was never created for us.
No.
Okay? It was created for the devil and his angels. That was to be their eternal abode, not ours. And so, we have a choice.
But unfortunately, people by their own choice will be spending eternity there because they choose not to accept the gift of God, the love of God.
Exactly. And, we're talking about God's compassion. Think how that must break his heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. Jesus could have, you remember after his triumphal entry and he was confronted by the priests and then he wept over Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. He could have wiped it off the face of the earth if he'd wanted to because he knew what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he wept over it. And it gave him, I know, no pleasure when he said, this the blood of all this is going to be on your hands. He was weeping as he said it. We talked last week about Jesus at Lazarus' tomb. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was Wednesday night. We talked about Jesus at Lazarus' tomb. He wept because he loved Lazarus. He didn't want Lazarus to be dead. And I think he wept too out of anger. People just because of their unbelief. It makes it made him sad. And God loves us enough to become one of us. I mean, you know, I know you may have, you probably heard the analogy, both of you, that it's kind of like us becoming an ant to save the ants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of that same sort of thing. But that which was infinite, God, became human, took on all our stuff in order to save us. Now that's love. You know. So, kind of in that theme, I want to read out of Romans chapter 5. And this is for Nan. These are some more of my favorite verses. Actually, pretty much the whole chapter. But Romans chapter 5, actually the whole book.
Thanks for narrowing it down.
All 66 books, yeah. You know. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now this hope does not disappoint, because the anger of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us.
I think you messed that up.
You do?
I think you said anger. You were supposed to say love, weren't you?
Yes, I was. Okay. Thank you,
Nan. You were seeing if I was awake, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Now this hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's been given us. So God's love is poured out into our hearts. And in verse 6, Paul goes on to say, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will someone die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. In verse 8, this is kind of the key here. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified or made righteous by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, so much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I mean, I love that, because that actually shows, you know, kind of both sides of this argument. But love wins.
Yes, it does.
Okay? Love won. Because, yeah, God demonstrates his own love. It wasn't just God, you know, calling down from Mount Sinai, I love you. Okay? He demonstrated it in that while we were still sinners, and I love that part. So many times we think we have to get cleaned up to get saved.
Yeah.
Okay? No. No.
I got to be good to be saved.
Yeah, I got to be a good boy to be saved.
I'd like to read something from the study Bible that I have regarding verse 8. It says, while we were still sinners, these are amazing words. God sent Jesus Christ to die for us, not because we were good enough, but because he loved us. Whenever you feel uncertain about God's love for you, remember that he loved you even before you turned to him. If God loved you when you were a rebel, he will surely strengthen you now that you love him in return. I thought that was pretty cool.
Amen. Amen.
Just think about that. Think about that. Like, that God loved us while we were still in sin. He loved us enough to die for us.
Mm-hmm.
To bring us to himself. And also to put his love inside of us. Think about that. It's incredible to think that we have the love of God in us.
Right. Instead of the daily double, that's like the eternal double. You know, not only does he love us, but he put his own love inside of us. And it's that love that motivates us to reach out to other people and show them.
To do the job of the evangelist.
Exactly. Exactly. Do the work of an evangelist. You bet.
Yeah.
That's what we're called to do, is that same sort of, is that same thing. Do the work of the evangelist. And, you know, going back to what we talked about last week, expecting, because God loves us, he's not going to leave us out kind of, you know, hanging in the wind or anything. Part of this whole package is demonstrating his love not only through signs and wonders, but through practical means, giving, you know, giving, and I'm not, you know, well, I am talking about tithing, but but giving, you know, if you see someone in need, and I think we're going to get to these scriptures probably after the break, but John said, don't just say, oh, be warm, be cheerful. Mm-hmm. Do something about, or James said that, do something about it. Do something. Don't just love in word and say, oh, Nan, you know, I love you, God loves you, and pat you on the head and walk away. Do something about it. That's what God calls us to do. Mm-hmm. For the sinner, that something is proclaiming the gospel. For our brothers and sisters who are in need, or even for if they're not our brothers and sisters, it's trying to meet those needs, whatever it is. In fact, in Prayer 113 out of Prayers That Avail Much, it talks, you know, we pray that quite often. I think we need to pray it more. Maybe we need to get back in the habit of doing that one every week like we used to. Prayer for the Church out of Prayers That Avail Much.
I thought we've been doing that.
No, we've missed several weeks. But you know, one of the things in there is we meet people's needs, you know, spiritual, physical, emotional. That's our prayer, is that God's love be manifest, that we'd be able to do that and meet those needs. And it's so true here, because we don't have to wait for them to clean themselves up before we do something, just like God didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up. And Nan, that's so true what you read. I mean, I know people who are afraid to come to God because, you know, I'm still a sinner. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the whole reason to come to God, is to get that sin washed away. And
that kind of like, that reminds me of a friend of mine who had a house, and two women, sisters, would come in and clean her house for her. Well, she would ready herself and do things in the house to get it ready for the women to come in and clean her house. It was the most incredible thing. I mean, she'd tidy everything up, put everything where it's supposed to be. I was like, well, why have these women come in if you're going to do it yourself? It was amazing
to me. I don't want them to think I'm a bad housekeeper.
Exactly.
Okay, first of all, God knows you're a bad housekeeper, okay?
Yes, he does.
He knows the mess you've made of your life, and he's the only one that can help you straighten it out, and he wants to.
That's right.
He wants to jump in and assist you with that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's no way. I mean, on one way, it's if we try and work our way, you know, be good enough for God, it's just it can lead to pride. Another way, it's just frustrating. I mean,
very frustrating.
Yeah, speaking of somebody who's been there, even after I got saved, it's hard work. You know, because every time you fall, it's like, oh, I got to do this and this and this now to make up for that. The great news, the good news, the gospel is Jesus paid it all. Mm-hmm. I'm about to start singing that old hymn. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Hallelujah.
You know, we can't get rid of that stain. We can't get rid of the dirt. You know, I read earlier this week about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. You know, and Peter said, oh, well, give me a bath, basically. Uh-huh. Jesus said, if I've washed you, you're clean. Mm-hmm. We need to remember that if he's washed us, we're clean. Mm-hmm. All we need to do is wash that daily dirt off our feet. And that's, but the first most important thing is being able to come to God by faith.
Mm-hmm.
Letting him love us. You know, sometimes we deny his love. And I think when we come back from Station ID, we're going to talk definitely more about what that means to not accept God's love. It's there for us if we accept it. But mm-hmm. that part of it is still on us. So we'll do station ID and we'll be right back.